WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. So please excuse me if I have the sniffles and everything. Listen, today on this Monday morning, we have snow here in Tennessee. Can you believe this weather? It has been something else. But anyways, today we are finishing the book of Exodus. Listen, Brad, I believe it's only prophetic that Exodus has 40 chapters. Remember, we talked about the significance of the number 40. It's very significant. We see it a lot in the Word. So we are finishing up today, 37 through chapter 40. All right, Bride, let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us during this broadcast. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for digging in your Word. We thank you for revealing the treasures that are in your Word, Lord. We ask you, Lord, from the beginning to help us to and illuminate and reveal your Word to us today in Jesus' name. All right, Bride, look, we are on chapter endorsed in the Ecumenical Bible. I endorse King James. Okay, so we're reading out of the King James, and then with the YouVersion app is the man that we have speaking to us today. So we are on Exodus chapter 37. I'm telling you, Bride, what did we just come out of? What have we learned in Exodus? Oh my goodness. How the Lord is so mighty and how he shows out, but he did all these powerful things to show him that who he was. He showed out. Did it cause them to repent? No. They still built a calf. Does that sound like our country today? I'm telling you, Bride, we have learned a lot through this Bible study. All right, much better. My glasses are much better. Okay, so let's go to Exodus chapter 37, and let's start from the top. Let me get my little man over here set up. All right, Exodus 37. It's hard to believe that tomorrow we'll be starting Leviticus. Can you believe it? We are moving right along. Remember, we are going to finish the Bible this year. So we're doing an average of 5 chapters a day, Monday through Friday, 5 chapters a day. Okay, so
Let's do this.
Exodus 37.
Here we go.
And Bezalel made the ark about 10 wood. 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth of it, and 1 cubit and a half the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without.
Okay, let me pause. Remember, we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. This is the ark that is going to be inside the temple. Remember, we learned how specific God is. Is he not amazing?
2 rings upon the one side of it and 2 rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, reaching out of one piece, making them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat.
Okay, pause. Cherubims, in case you don't know, are representative of angels. So he's saying that he made 2 cherubims out of one. Isn't that all about that? And also remember the shittim wood we learned in previous scripture is very, very sturdy. Awesome wood. Okay, so it says, and he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length, and 1 cubit and a half was the breadth. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them. Isn't that amazing? And on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. So imagine how awesome that must be.
On this side, and another cherub on the other end on that side. Out of the mercy seats made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat with their faces one to another. Even to the mercy seat were the faces of the cherubim.
Okay, pause. When I first read this, Brad, listen, I leaped for joy. Like, am I reading this right? We have already seen such miracles of God, such amazing ways of expressing himself. And right here, we just read another one, Brad. Bam, in your face, devil. Don't you love it when God just shows out like this? Look what just happened, Brad. Did he not say in the previous verse that he created the mercy seat out of one piece of gold, which made 2 cherubims on each end of the mercy seat of the ark? Picture it like this, right? Then he had the 2 cherubims on each end. And look, if I'm understanding this right, those cherubims come to life. They was already in gold. They came to life and formed together over this mercy seat. And then the 2 faces faced each other. Hello? How awesome is that? Let's read it again, Brad. The word is so amazing. How can people not want to read the word? It is so amazing. All right. Okay, let's start from here. And he made 2 pieces of gold. Beaten out of one piece of gold. And the cherubims spread out their wings over the mercy seat with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seat were the faces of the cherubims. Is that not amazing? I'm telling you, I am just in awe of what God just did here. Remember, Brian, that when he talked about the curtains, how he talked about the cherubims would help? It makes you wonder, I mean, did he have like angels just come down and help with the curtains? I mean, God is just so amazing. And he made the table of shittim wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof. Well, let's let this tell us. Here we go.
And he made the table of shittim wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about.
Wow.
Also he made thereunto a border of an hand breadth round about. feet thereof. He made the border where the rings, the places for the stage to bear the table. And he made the stays of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes, and his spoons, and his bowls, and his covers, to cover with all of pure gold.
Pure gold, Brian.
The candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work made he the candlestick, his shaft, and his branch, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers, of the same.
Now, let's just consider today. Let's say God told us to make a tabernacle. And then we made it of pure gold. But not only did we make the mercy seat, make the Ark of the Covenant out of pure gold, but we're making our forks and our spoons. I mean, this is how specific God is. How excellent is His name is the verse that's in my spirit right now. Let's keep going.
And six branches going out of the sides thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. Three bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knob and a flower, and three bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knob and a flower. So throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick were four bowls made like almonds, his knobs and his flowers, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knobs and their branches were the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his seven lamps, and his snuffers, and his snuff dishes of pure gold.
Wow.
And a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was a cubit, the breadth of it a cubit. It was four square, and two cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it,
wow,
and the sides thereof round about. And the horns of it also he made unto it a crown of gold round about. And he made two rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the two corners of it upon the two sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil, and the pure incense of sweet spices, according to the work of the apothecary.
Okay, pause right here. The cups, like, it would just be so holy. Like, how could you eat off of pure gold forks, you know, and knowing that this was the design of God Himself? It would just be so amazing, you know, to walk in a place like this. And did you notice, Brian, that they were talking about borders? What? Borders around the temple? What? Yes, God is the designer of borders. He told me that. When it came to President Trump and me traveling the country last year, he said that when I prayed around the country, he said, I'm the one that made the first border. I believe in law and order. And so anyways, all right, we're on chapter 38. Let's keep going. Hey, wait a minute, Brian. I think this will help you. This will make it a little bit louder. I know this is not very loud. Let me add this speaker to it. All right, let's see if this will help. We're in chapter 38.
Exodus 38.
There we go.
And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. Five cubits was the length thereof, and five cubits the breadth thereof. It was four square, and three cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the four corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots, and the shovels, and the basins, and the flesh hooks, and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of brass. And he made for the altar a brazen grate of network under the compass thereof, beneath unto the midst of it. And he cast four rings for the four ends of the grate of brass, to be places for the staves. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with brass. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar, to bear it withal. He made the altar hollow with boards. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he made the court on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were of fine twined linen.
Wow.
100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, the hangings were 100 cubits, their pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of...
All right, let me pause right here, Brian. This reminds me of when I went to London. If you have ever seen a very immaculate building, very expensive, like with gold and jewels in the walls and all these type of things, intricate drawings, it makes you cry. You know, you're like, oh my Lord, just how beautiful. Can you imagine what this really looked like? I mean, try to picture, like when he says their pillars were 20 and their brazen sockets 20. Pillars, you know, they're like the big columns. It's just amazing. Let's keep going.
Silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the east side, eastward 50 cubits. The hangings of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate, on this hand and that hand, were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen, and the sockets for the pillars were of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver, and the hanging for the gate of the court was needlework of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, and 20 cubits was the length, and the height and the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of brass 4, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters and their fillets of silver. And all the pins of the tabernacle and of the court round about were brass. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest. And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses.
Wow.
And with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work, and all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents, and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, 1,753 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. A becca for every man, that is, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men.
Wow, that's a lot.
And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels he made hooks for the pillars, and overlaid their chapiters, and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents, and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the brazen altar, and the brazen grate for it, and all the vessels of the altar, and the sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the pins of the court round about.
Now, Brad, I just caught on to something. Okay, we're hearing how God designed the tabernacle. This is the very first one. And if I'm understanding this right, God designed this from the inside out. Did we not just hear how he designed the Ark of the Covenant? He designed all of the room that the ark rested in, the inner courts. And now we're in the outer courts. Isn't that something? That he would design it from the holiest place out? I think that's really prophetic, don't you? Let's keep going.
Exodus 39.
Oh no, it's the blue. Okay, well, I'll read these last few verses. A becah for every man that is half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered from 26 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their chapiters and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. See, now we're in the outer courts. Now we're in the congregation area. And the brazen altar, and the brazen great pit, and all the vessels of the altar. And the sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the pins of the court round about. You know, I've got that song in my spirit. I think it was Juanita Bynum singing it. Pass the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Take me back, take me into the holy, holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. You know, now when you hear them songs, you'll treasure it more, because now you understood what it took to get into the Holy of Holies. All right, now we're on chapter 39.
And purple and scarlet, they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue.
And made the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. Isn't that something that the Lord told Moses, how he wanted everyone in there dressed, what they're to wear and everything? And he made the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. I love that when the Lord says that, fine twined linen.
Fold into thin plates and cut into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet.
Wow.
In the fine linen with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel.
Wow.
And they put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones.
Wow.
For a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Wow.
And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined and linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and the span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like
wow.
The engravings of a signet, every one with his name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made 2 ouches of gold and 2 gold rings, and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathen chains of gold in the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate.
Wow.
And the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened in the 2 ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before.
Brad, you know what's going through my spirit is, have you ever read about what heaven looks like when you enter the gates? I believe this is a replica of the gates that we'll enter in through. It's like 12 pillars, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel, which is basically like this ephod. I mean, if I'm understanding this right, this is what the ephod looked like. Let's examine this again. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, isn't that something? These are stones on this ephod. I mean, imagine how heavy this was on him, on Aaron. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth, being double. And they set it in four rows of stones. The first row was sardius, a topaz, a carbuncle was the first row. The second row, an emerald, sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a lugger, an agate, and amethyst. It makes you wonder, what are those jewels? Like, what do they represent? Are they representative of each of those persons? Each of the tribe? And the fourth row are a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names. Okay, yes it was. According to the names of the children of Israel, 12. According to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. Wow. So, wow. This ephod meant the authority that they carried based upon those 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. And they put the two wreath chains of gold in the two rings at the end of the breastplate. And the two ends of the two wreath chains they fashioned in the two ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. So in other words, they was all connected, all three. And they made the two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other gold rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part of it, over against the other coupling thereof above the curious girdle of the ephod. All right, let's keep going here.
Right. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part of it, over against the other coupling thereof above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Wow.
And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band round about the hole, that it should not rend.
Wow.
And they made upon the hems of the robe a pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined the linen. And they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round
wow.
about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Wow.
And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing, like to the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten.
Pause! Hold on there a minute! Hold it! Okay, so, these that they're making for Aaron, where is this at, Brian? This is in the Holy of Holies. This is to be worn in the same room as the Ark of the Covenant. Why did they put the bells on the bottom? In case they died. How did they die inside the Holy of Holies? Sin. Sin. That's what the word says, bride. Sin. And right here, what is engraved on this ephod? Holiness unto the Lord. holiness to the Lord, which means that's the only way you have access to God is holiness. This right here, it's in the word, bride. Because see, this temple is representative of us in prayer to God. We are the temple now, right? So we pray to the Lord. But what does the Lord say? He says sin keeps us apart. Sin separates us. You must walk in holiness in order to have access to the throne. And remember what the word says, that he gathers these bowls. He gathers these bowls before the throne of prayers. Did you know that your breath, your prayers can either be a sweet incense to him, a sweet smell, or your sin can be a putrid stink to him. It's like a stink. I don't want anything to do with that. It's the same way he says, when it comes to prayer, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Well, who's righteous? Those that do right living. Okay? Those that walk in holiness. How do you walk in holiness? Honoring the Lord, right living, living by the Ten Commandments, living the way that God expects you to, walking and clothed in Him, covered in His mercy and grace, and honoring Him. And I just want to say this, that I was watching a video with someone yesterday, and it was a minister. Had done a video talking about how God understands your sin and that no one can overcome their sin, and that God knows this and He accepts you anyway, for you to just be okay with who you are, basically. And I had to tell that person that's a lie, because they try to say that we're going by the law. No, it's just called holiness. It's plain and simple holiness. Okay? The Bible says we are the ones that resist sin. We're the ones that battle it. The temptation comes. But if that preacher was right, then we would just indulge in all our temptations. We wouldn't walk in holiness. We wouldn't keep our bodies pure. We wouldn't keep ourselves separated from the way that the world thinks and does, you know, type of deal. But this right here shows you, in this word that we're studying today, this morning, that holiness is the only access to God. Only access. He's the one that measures the hearts. He judges the hearts. All right, let's keep going, Brad.
Lit on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they.
All right, pause. Which means what? They obeyed. Remember, Moses was up on the mountain 40 days, bride. Remember, there's another 40 days. He was up on the mountain, got the commandment from God, got the instructions, God downloaded the instructions into him. And what did God do too on this second trip up to the mountain? God gave him the second word. Remember the first word he gave him where he wrote on the tablets the Ten Commandments? Moses got so mad, people, he broke them. So God told him, give me tablets, I'm going to do it again. And God did it again, and he gave him the word, and he gave him the instructions on how to build this tabernacle. So, but the children of Israel had an option. Am I either going to obey God? Am I going to do this? Or am I going to disobey God? They did it. And it says it right here, Brian. In verse 32. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. Okay, we're on verse 33 now.
And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his tatches, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets. And the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick, with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords, and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it, as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them.
Wow, so they brought their work to Moses. He looked and saw it was done according to God's fix, and then Moses turned around and blessed them. Aw, isn't this something? Here we go, last chapter.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil, and thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof.
All right, pause. Catch on to this, Brad. Who is God asking to step inside the temple, step inside the Holy of Holies, and put everything in order? The candlestick, the lamps, where everything goes, Moses. The that God gave the vision to. He asked him to do the final touches. I think there's a key here, Brian, so let's keep going.
Thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy.
Powerful! Yes, Lord! That is amazing, Bride. Let's go back and review this. This is confirmation for us that use anointing oil. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shall hollow it. What does that mean, Bride? It means set it apart, anoint it, consecrate it to me, and all the vessels thereof. And it shall be holy. Wow. Isn't that amazing that even the vessels, even the forks, the spoons, the candlestick, everything in this tabernacle is holy? Because Moses is going in there and anointing it with oil and consecrating it to the Lord. Wow, okay, Bride, look, now this is something we need to consider. We need to consider this concept because don't you think that if God can consecrate something and make it holy, don't you think the devil can? Which makes me think, touch not the unclean thing. Why do you think it is? Probably because it was consecrated for something else. It was designed for something else. It was meant for something else. And the church has no business touching this. They have no reason to touch the unclean thing. These are objects in the temple. that were anointed and consecrated to the Lord. I'm telling you, listen, I know this sounds funny, but I'm going to give you an example because this is what's in my spirit. When I taught about the tattoos, and I got so persecuted by the church over tattoos, and I told them, I said, okay, it's like the analogy of this. Would you walk into a satanic tattoo parlor where they use these carving instruments and carve satanic images on people's skins, okay? And then they use this for Satan and have that attached to your skin, and then it's carving in your skin. How is that holy? It makes no sense, people. It's common sense. This is consecrated for something else. This tattoo thing, this tattoo ink machine, is for something else. There's not a thing about it holy. So we are touching the unclean thing. And this is where I had the deliverance guy on the broadcast to explain how that brings demons when people get tattoos. And what he explained is it brings the chief demon of, what was the name? Leviathan, which is pride. And what does pride do? It causes you to become obsessed. Well, I'm going to show everybody this tattoo. And then I'm going to keep getting more, and then I'm going to start flashing them. I'm going to be a preacher on national TV. I'm going to wear my shirts to here with my sleeve, and I'm going to flash them all over national TV. And I'm going to put my profile pictures with nothing but a tattoo on it to brag. See, that's all pride. But that's what that is. It has touched the unclean thing, and it has opened up a gate into their life. So I pray people get those gates shut. They repent, renounce, and turn, and quit showing them off and bragging and causing other people to do that. Because it's opened up the wrong gate. It's been dedicated to something else, Brian. It's the same way as the temple. We got to be pure and holy. Let's continue.
And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy.
Oh.
And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water.
Oh.
And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Hold it, hold it, hold it. I'm having an epiphany, bride. Oh my goodness. This is the first example of a baptism. This is what this is. They're the first priest, right, that we're seeing being anointed into the priestly office. They're having them go into the congregation, which is already, it's sanctioned off, it's consecrated to the Lord. This is holy ground. Holy ground, set apart for the Lord, holy and anointed unto the Lord. So they're bringing these people in to get anointed as priests. And what does it say, Brian? Let's examine this. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Bring him into this holy place. And wash them with water. Baptism. The first one right here. And then I think about Jesus when he met John the Baptist. And then John the Baptist baptized him. He washed him in water. That had to take place before he went out and ministered on behalf of God. Isn't that something? Okay, so, and thou shalt put upon Aaron. Okay, yeah, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. All right, Brian, what is sanctification? Set apart. He has been put inside this tabernacle that has been commissioned to God, that has been anointed, consecrated, and set apart for God. Now they've brought in Aaron. They baptized him, basically. And now they've clothed him. They have anointed him. Let's see what all happened here. And they shall put on Aaron the holy garments and anoint him, sanctify him, which means you are set apart now. You are God's. You are separate and holy to God. That he may minister unto me, which is God, in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. All right, let's continue. This is good stuff, Brian. Yes.
And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations.
Wow.
Thus did Moses. According to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up.
Oh.
And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark.
All right, pause. Guess what else just come to me, Brian? These guys, which is Aaron and his sons, were brought into the tabernacle, separated, anointed, separated, imparted into, for what? To spend time with God. To minister unto God. Did y'all catch on to this? Minister unto God first. And then now we're learning 1 year later. This is after he was equipped and assigned and ready to go. It was 1 year later. Then the tent goes up. Wow, it's going to be good. Ooh, I got chill bumps.
And he brought the ark into the tabernacle. Set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Aww.
And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar. And put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet to their acts.
Wow.
When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work.
Okay, let me pause right here. This is what's in my spirit, Brian. Okay, now here is Moses and Aaron going in, washing themselves before they went in to the Holy of Holies. And I consider us as ministers, do we wash ourselves when we go into the Holy of Holies? Are we cleansing ourselves? Are we examining ourselves? Washing our hearts before God when we go in there? That's what was in my spirit. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet, which means keeping your hands clean, keeping your feet clean, not going places you shouldn't go, not touching things you shouldn't touch, not partnering with things you shouldn't partner with, all those types of things. Let's keep going.
Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation.
What?
And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Oh!
And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation.
Wow!
Because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Woo! Oh, that's so awesome, Brian. Think about what just happened. Think about it. They obeyed the Lord. This is all coming through obedience. Okay? They obeyed the Lord. They kept their hands clean. They kept their feet clean. And then the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Wow. He couldn't even go in because the glory was so thick. Isn't that amazing? And it all came through obedience. Wow. And keeping their hands clean. Yes, Lord. Wow, that is so amazing. Let's read it again. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altars, verse 33, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished. It is done. It's finished. And then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, which means on the outer courts, remember that's the tent of the congregation is on the beginning of it, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Wow. Could I say it filled the temple because of holiness? Wow. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Wow, let's read this.
Oh. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up.
Wow.
For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys.
What? Oh! You talking about revelation right there, Brian. Wow. Was that not the very thing that happened to the children of Israel while they was out in the wilderness? What? In the wilderness, did they not have the cloud there? And did they not have the fire there? Why is it now contained inside of a tabernacle? Wow. Whew. That is some meaty stuff. Let's review it again so we can swallow this, what is being told us. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. In other words, they were waiting on the Lord. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day. And the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. Wow. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Wow. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not. Wow. So in other words, they were still led by the fire, by the glory and the fire. Wow. His divine presence. Wow. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day and the fire was on it by night. Can you imagine Brian being Aaron and his sons, the priest, that were ministering under the glory like this, the heaviness of the glory? Wow. Okay, Brian, tomorrow we are going into Leviticus. You know, if I think about it, I don't know if I've ever read Leviticus. Well, except for doing the Bible studies on the tattoos and stuff. But we're going to start Leviticus tomorrow. And listen, right now, what is happening in our word? Okay? In our word, the children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. They are just now building a tabernacle. Okay, now they have a tent, a congregation. They have a tabernacle where the Lord designed it himself with Moses. So God has laid down the law with the Israelites. He's let them know what his expectations are, how to purify themselves, and he's basically taught them to keep yourself pure. Keep yourself separate, okay? And then he gave us the priest's office. Wow, this is amazing. Okay, Brian, so tomorrow we will start on Leviticus. I bless you, Brian. Y'all